I mean, we already learned over here what you're supposed to do with them. Huh? I mean, you don't just fire them. You fire them eternally, you understand? And the only thing that saves Yehoshua and Kalev at the last minute is Uchvod Hashem Nireh B'Ohel Moed. The honor of God came. Wait, listen. If people start listening to this tape, you understand, they'll haul me off to jail. No, I think something here is min hashamayim. My tape recorder isn't working today, and I think it's because something's gone wrong over here. All right, if it doesn't work, I have marks. Okay. The important thing is, if I'll tell you the truth, I'm going to learn the Haftorah. Now, you may think that this is because, listen, for Bamidbo we learned the Haftorah, and for Baha'alotcha we learned the Haftorah, but there's a different reason why I'm learning the Haftorah. Because the Sedra is just plain too painful for me. This week it's too painful for me. In about a year now, I don't think that I turned on my TV. I mean, it's of course only to you that I admit that I have one. I live in Har Nof. But I put it on for 1 minute Sunday night after the cabinet decision. I was sick. The great historic decision. And here is our Prime Minister speaking in Binyanei HaUmah. And thousands of people are cheering. And I'm wondering, what are they cheering about? Are they cheering about 26 shuls that are going to be destroyed utterly? Are they cheering about who knows how many yeshivot and ulpanot and ganei yeladim are going to be ground into the dust? Are they cheering about the fact that 7,500 Jews are going to be driven from their homes, not by goyim in the Ukraine or in France or in Germany or even in England, but by Jews in our own country and earth, and they're cheering? And then the next morning, I can't help it, I'm coming here. I was going someplace in the car. No, Monday mornings I don't come here. No. I prepare the shiur. So I hear people being interviewed, all sorts of people. Of course, Ehud Olmert very carefully takes credit for the great hesed, the great achievement, the historic moment. We mishugoyim. I would imagine that the Arab world is laughing their heads off at us. They're laughing at us. Mushugoyim, for these Jews, the historic moment is the moment when they decide that they're giving up part of their homeland to an enemy that is clearly going to turn it into a base for more intensified terrorist activity against the Jewish state. And everybody is packed. They're breaking their hands, patting themselves on the back for having had a share in this historic achievement. Just assure me of one thing. Am I crazy? Or are they crazy? Wait a minute, nobody answered. Wait a minute, let's try that again. Am I crazy?
No.
All right. Okay. Very good. Okay. I'll tell you, it's. Yeah. Well, if you remember the shiur of 2 weeks ago on Parshas Bamidbar, Hosea, where I read to you 10 psukim in Hosea, where Hosea warns the kings of Israel, don't go to Egypt, don't depend on Egypt. And then the final comment, which is part of the Haftorah of Shabbos, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, do Shuva, go back to God. Go back to God, Ukichu Imachem Devarim, and take words with you. Confess before Him. And what are you supposed to say? Ashur Lo Yoshienu, Syria is not going to save us. Al Sus Lo Nirkov, we're not going to ride on the horses of Egypt. We are no longer going to say that which we made is our God. Hosea railed against the idea of going to Egypt or Syria and hoping that the issue is going to come from them. All right, listen. So I didn't want to get aggravated. So I didn't give, I'm not giving the shiur on the parasha. I'm going to the Haftorah instead. And the Haftorah, I think the last time we learned this Haftorah was about 10 years ago. Every time I learn it, I find so much more in it. It is an absolutely beautiful Haftorah. And in a sense, it's going to follow the pattern that we established for Parashat Bamidbar and Parashat Bahalotcha. And it's only because of Shuas that we didn't learn the Haftorah of Parashat Naso. But in Parashat Bamidbar, we made it very clear that the Haftorah is not only a Haftorah for Parashat Bamidbar, but even more than that, it is the preparation for the Yom Tov of Shuas. Last week, we also described that the Haftorah of Roni V'Simchi Bat Zion in Zechariah, Bat Zion, be full of joy and song. A beautiful Haftorah about the establishment of the Second Temple, the appointment of Yehoshua to be Kohen Gadol, Zerubbabel Nehemiah is going to be the head of government, and it's such a beautiful Haftorah, it's full of so much promise, and the point that we made is that it's a tragic Haftorah, because none of that promise was ever fulfilled, as Rabbi Yehuda Levi said in the Kuzri, that what God had destined and had hoped for the Second Temple period just didn't happen. Just as Parashat Bahalotcha, now in Shlach, what we're coming to is the end of a profound tragedy. A Jewish people in Bamidbar, Naso, half of Bahalotcha, they're preparing for the great march into Eretz Yisrael. Everything is ready. They even have the trumpets. They've already begun the journey. And in the second half of everything begins to unravel. There were those who had complaints, and then there were those who desired stakes, you understand. K rations weren't enough for them. They were an army going to conquer Eretz Israel. And then, of course, the end of the tragedy comes in Parashat Shlach with the Meraglim. 38 years later, Yehoshua is going to send Meraglim. And that's the Haftarah. 38 is a good number. It's 38 years after the Six-Day War. We're in the 38th year after the Six-Day War. Oh, the Six-Day War, yes. All right. I know, listen. Anyway, let's get into the Haftorah. I won't have enough time to finish it all. I have to get to the point. Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min Ashitim. Shnayim Anoshim Meraglim. Yehoshua ben Nun sent from Shittim two men, Meraglim. Fascinating, of course. We will see that every word, every phrase in this pasuk is so meaningful. But of course, the first thing that should strike you is the fact that Yehoshua refers to the people whom he is sending as Meraglim, spies. In all of Parashat Shlach, those whom we call Meraglim are never referred to as Meraglim, but they are sent as Torim, tourists, those who are going to visit the land. Yehoshua is clearly sending Meraglim. And of course, there's a big difference between Meraglim and Torim. The difference between Meraglim and Torim. Torim, tourists, are going to see the good of the land. Moshe's intent was to send them, come back and tell us how beautiful the land is, how fruitful it is, what a wonderful, wonderful place it is. That was the point of a tourist. A meragel is the one who goes to look for the weakness. He wants to find where we should enter the country and how we should conquer them. Yehoshua ben Nun sent from Shittim two people as Meraglim, Cheresh. This word Cheresh has so many meanings. The basic meaning of Cheresh is in silence, in secret. And when we're talking about a secret here, this is a secret and there are no leaks. There's nobody in Klal Yisrael who knows about it. You understand? There are 3 million people there. There's no senior source, who has told the people that there are Meraglim on their way to the land of Canaan. Cheresh means silence. Cheresh, some of the Mefarshim also say that Cheresh comes from the word machshava, thought. In Mishlei, there's a pasuk al tacharosh al re'echa ra'a. Don't think or plan evil against your friend. So cheresh means that this was a clearly thought out mission. This was not a mission that simply Yeshua got a warning and said, listen, let's send spies. Clearly thought out. Chazal, of course, go one step further and they say that the word can also be read as cheres. Cheres means pottery. In other words, these fellows need a cover. They need a cover. They're going to come into Yericho and they're going to be asked for their papers. They have to make sure that everything is in order. I'm sure that they have all sorts of falsified documents. But what are they doing here? So they came as potters. They carried with themselves pots and pans. Alte Sachen, they're out selling. In other words, they needed a cover. I mean, this is all, any one of us who's lived in the world of spyhood and knows about all of this. I still have in my wallet someplace a business card that when I went to Russia in 83, I said that was today every 12-year-old kid goes to be a counselor in the Ukraine someplace or Uzbekistan. When I went, it was dangerous to go, you understand? Big hero. Okay. So I had a business card with my Goyish name, and I'm not going to tell you that. That I was an executive of some kind of a printing company on the east side of Manhattan. That was my cover. I'll tell you, now that I mentioned that, that's going to be very fascinating. That story is going to be very fascinating because you're going to see right away. I didn't think of it at first, but you know, when I teach you and I see all these eager faces, like I begin to think about all sorts of things. Anyway, these people needed a cover, and the cover is that they're potters and they come with their pots. And he tells them, your mission, and you're going to accept it, your mission is lechuru u'et ha'aretz v'et Yericho, go see the land and Yericho. Vayelchu, and they went, vayavo beit isha zonah, they came to the house of a woman, and there are two pshatim in zonah, but we're going to say the truth about it. Zonah, of course, means a prostitute, a harlot. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel says zonah means an innkeeper. And zona comes from the word zon, one who feeds, hazon et hakol. But the truth is that Chazal and most of the Farshim, the two go together. The innkeeperess provided a variety of services. So we're talking about a woman. No, I didn't mean anything. She was a zona. She was a zona. That's the fact. That's going to be, by the way, very significant in our understanding of the whole Haftarah. It's very significant. It's not, sometimes I'm serious. All right. Vayavo beit isha zona ushma rochav, and her name was Rochav, vayishkivu shama, and they went to lie down, to stay overnight there. Vayayom elemelech Yericho lemar, and it was said to the king of Yericho, so saying, people have come here tonight, from the children of Israel, to dig out the land, to dig for information. You know what just happened over here? The well-laid plans, all of the preparations for this secret mission, 3 million Jews, nobody knows. And here they come with their pots and pans, and they are, they've got a great cover. They've come into Yericho. They know them already. Their cover is blown. It's unbelievable. This is most probably one of the worst failures of any mission in all of Tanakh. An absolute abject failure. Their cover is blown immediately. The king of Yericho already knows. I mean, this is Abbott and Costello, you understand. This is a comic story. It's an absolute failure. Oh, that's why I told you. I come to Russia with the cover of being some executive for a printing company. As I present my passport upon arrival, I'm surrounded by a few fellas and taken off into some kind of a, a three-quarter of an hour session over there that if my heart survived at all, you understand, I'm going to live forever. Yeah. My cover was blown before I got off. I was a failure just like these two, an absolute failure. They knew exactly who I was, what I was going to do. They, And I don't look Jewish, you're right. And you should know they, someday, when we finally get to the tape recordings of the KGB, we will find the greatest tape library in the whole world. They simply taped everything that was said by us and every group that came, and all of us had to say, sure, and they must, those fellows, if they sit and listen, Zanin say, Goyse Talmidei Chachamim. It's blown. Vayayom HaLemelech Mitzrayim, he immediately knows. How does he know? I imagine, how does he know? Because they are on absolute heightened alert. We see that we're going to see that Jericho, they lock the gates at night and nobody can come in. We're talking about a city that is bedding down to siege, and they watch every nose that comes into the city, and they can tell exactly who is here. But take a look how carefully, now that you know already that the whole mission is an absolute failure, so we have to deal with the question that's asked by all the Mefarshim. We had Yehoshua himself was a member of the original group of Meraglim. He knows what a tragic end. Why does he do it? Why does he send the Meraglim? The Malbim, in his explanation of this first pasuk, takes us step by step through the whole pasuk, and he says you should know that there were such significant differences between what Moshe did and what Yehoshua did. Two completely different kinds of missions. And he says, number one, Moshe sent, and the fact is that Moshe sent Meraglim because the people wanted it. The initiative came from the people. In Sefer Dorim it says, "Vatikruvun elai kulchem." All of you came, drew close, and you said, "We want to send people off to Eretz Canaan to spy out the land." So there it was sent by Moshe. It was sent by the request of the people. Here it was by Yishlach Yehoshua. Yehoshua, he's the one who decides, and not only he decides to send Meraglim, he chooses the Meraglim. The 12 we're going to see who are chosen, and I was said each tribe chose their representative. Over here, Yehoshua himself is choosing the two who will go. Interestingly enough, of course, everybody knows who they were. I'll tell you, even our rabbis went ahead and they blew the cover of the Meraglim. The Torah doesn't tell us who the two were, but any child who's learned Tanakh knows that it was Pinchas and Kalev ben Yefuna. Kalev ben Yefuna, you understand, is a two-time loser. He was one of the Meraglim the first time around, and he's now going to be a Meragel for the second time around. Most probably, you know what? I think he's the only experienced Meragel that they have amongst the 3 million Jews in the desert. Only one person. It's Kalev ben Yefuna. Number two, it says, "Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun." So that's one. Yehoshua sending, not the people. Min Hashitim. Shitim is right at the border of Eretz Canaan. You can hear the waters of the Yarden. Moshe Rabbeinu had sent them from Paran, which was hundreds of miles away. In other words, Yehoshua is sending Meraglim from a people who are already poised on the banks of the Yarden, ready for the thrust into Eretz Yisrael, so that the entire undertaking is of a completely different nature. Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min Ashitim shnayim anashim Meraglim. Not 12, 2. Not 12, 2. And these are two people whom he knows well. The fact is the 12 were chosen because each tribe wanted to send somebody who they felt was beholden to them, or somebody whom they they could trust. They were afraid that if they send other... you see, what's strange about the list of the miraculum in Parashat Shlach is most of them are unknowns except for two. The only ones we know are Kaleb ben Yefune and Yeshua ben Nun. The normal thing would have been, we knew all of the Nesiim, the princes of the tribes that were mentioned in Bamidbar and Noso. We know that. Why weren't they chosen? People, you know, they wanted... No, not that guy. He's too close to Moshe, you know. He may follow the Moshe line. You know, there are those who don't want to lose their status in the community, so they'll just go along with anything that Moshe Rabbeinu wants. So they wanted somebody who was going to act for them. Yes. To look. Yes. Yes and no. Because that parasha of Shema, parasha Tzitzis, is the end of Parashat Shlach. You can follow your eyes for evil. You can also follow your eyes for good. The parasha of Tzitzis comes at the end of Shlach to warn a people who had already learned what following your eyes can mean. That you should not follow it for evil. That's exactly why the parasha of Tzitzis appears here. Well, certainly one of the reasons. You're right. But by definition, latur is to look for the good. To look for the good. A tourist comes to a place because he wants to see beautiful things. No one is going to be a tourist, I don't know, Rwanda? I mean, where is genocide going on in the face of this earth? What? I don't know. There always has to be genocide someplace going on the face of this earth someplace. Nobody's going to go to Rwanda or Burundi or where is it now? It's in Ethiopia or Sudan. That you don't go as a tourist over there. You're not going to have to spend 10 glorious days amid evil. A tourist is looking for the good. The Haftorah, no, because they're looking for the weakness. They want to find the weakness. In other words, that was the failure of the Meraglim. And our Sedra, the failure was because they came back, by the way, with the good news. They brought the grapes. They brought the grapes. They said it's a beautiful country, but it's also Eretz Ochelet Yoshveh. It's a land that consumes and eats up its inhabitants. They came back with a pessimistic report. We can't do it. We are incapable of doing it. That was their problem. Let's go. No. Let's go further. Next, Cheresh. Cheresh means in silence. That we already described, the difference between Moshe and Yoshua's. Moshe sent it with great fanfare. Everybody knew about it. And when everybody knows about it, chances are already that it's going to... It's a setup for failure. And there, by Moshe, they were sent to see the whole land. Give us a report on the whole land. Over here, it's very specific. Yericho. We're focusing in on Yericho. Et ha'aretz vet Yericho. All right. Of course, the difference is going to be as well that when the Meraglim returned, they reported not only to Moshe and Aaron, but their report was to the entire people. These two Meraglim come back, they're going to report only to Yehoshua. Only to Yehoshua, to no one else. You want to know how bad a disaster this sending of the Meraglim was? I'll let you know something else that you can't see from the Haftorah itself. I mean, of course, I'm going to have to answer at the end.
if it's a disaster, if it's a disaster, so what do we learn from it? Oh, we're going to learn a great deal from this disaster. In other words, there's somebody who's going to save victory from the jaws of this disaster. And of Klal Yisrael gesagt, disasters like this. Because take a look, we're certainly not going to say of Klal Yisrael gesagt, great victories like the Miraglim in the days of Moshe. They were a great success. Not only did great success. Take a look at something else. The Miraglim who came in the days of Moshe, they toured the country for 40 days. These poor souls didn't do anything. From the whole country and from all of Yericho, all they did was they ended up in a hotel of ill repute. That's all that happened. And the Miraglim in the days of Moshe, what are you talking about? Over hills, over dales, mountains, rolling green hills, whispering brooks. Oh, they filled their lungs with the air of Eretz Yisrael. Right. They're living literally off the fat of the land 40 days and they're able to avoid all of the authorities. This is an unbelievable mission to Eretz Canaan. And these two fellas I don't think they have 2 minutes of success. They already watched their noses as they came in the gate of Yericho, and we know, everybody knows all about them. The king is told immediately. One other point. There's something that you don't get from the Haftorah, but you need what came before. What came before is the following. It says at the end of the 30 days, at the end of the 30 days of the mourning for Moshe, that's the 7th of Nisan, Yehoshua notifies the people that they are to prepare themselves, because on the 10th day of Nisan, 3 days later, they're crossing the Jordan. The big problem that the Mefarshim have to deal with is this mission of the two Miraglim, this mission takes 5 days. It takes them 1 day to get to Yericho. They're going to flee in the middle of the night. They're going to go, you understand, down the rope from her window, you know, an extremely dignified way for Kalev and Yehoshua ben Nun to make their exit from Yericho. They're going to hide in the mountains for 3 days until the posses who've gone after them to find them have already returned. And it'll take them another day. That's 5 days. When did they arrive back at the camp? They arrived back at the camp after Jews. They didn't even have to get back to the camp. Jews already had crossed on the 10th. If you follow the way things are written in chapter 1, it says at the end of the 30 days, Vayitmu Yemei B'chi Evel Moshe, the days of mourning for Moshe were over, and God tells Yehoshua, Moshe Avdi Meis, my servant Moshe is dead, Va'ato now kum avoras hayardin, pick yourself up and cross the Jordan. And he tells them, send people through the camp, prepare everything, in 3 days we're crossing, which is the 10th of Nisan. What am I supposed to conclude from all of this? I'm supposed to conclude that what he sent them after the 30 days, then the whole mission was completely useless. So therefore the Mefarshim have to say, and there are psukim that can prove it, that this is sort of a flashback. In the middle of the 30 days, Yehoshua assumes that the crossing of the Jordan is going to be a natural crossing of the Jordan, and that we're going to have our wits about it. So he sends off these miraglim. While they are out in Yericho, or while they are up in the mountain hiding, or while they're on their way back, God appears to them and says, no, we're crossing the Yarden, but we're crossing the Yarden miraculously. Yericho is going to be conquered miraculously. So it means really when these fellas come back, so what do you do? one of two things you can do. You can tell them when they come back, you know, you must have had a harrowing experience there for these last 5 days. Your mission really, if we would have known in time, we would have aborted the whole mission. You aren't really necessary. That's one possibility. The other possibility, most probably, that most governments accept is that you debrief them and you listen to them seriously as though whatever they have to say is so terribly important. Well, the truth is you can't wait because we know already the truth. We're crossing already the Jordan. We've made all of our decisions without you. Yes. No. It's not going to work. Trust me. It's not going to work. And trust me something else. The mission was an unbelievable success. If you're worried about Kolev and Pinchas having been abject failures, we are going to rescue them from the bin of failure. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Vayayom el melech Yericho, let's go back. And it was said to the king of Yericho, Hinei anoshim bo, heino halayla b'nei Yisrael achbor et haaretz. There are people who have come here tonight from the children of Israel to dig out information about the land. Vayishlach melech Yericho el rochav lemor. The king of Yericho sent a message to Rochav saying, Hotzi ha'noshim ha'boyim elayich. Take out, send out the people who have come to you, ashebol v'eitech, who have come to your house, ki lachbor kol ha'aretz bau, because they have come to spy out the entire, search out the entire land. I tell you, this pasuk always seemed to me to be very comical. Very comical. Come on. Anybody who's seen a few good movies, all you need is a few good movies. What do you do under these circumstances? The enemy has sent in spies, and you have good information. You know that these spies are in the house of Rachav. Oh boy, you get SWAT teams out immediately, moving in the dark of night, surrounding the house of Rachav. Every roof in Yericho has men watching over there. And then, of course, I mean, I have a vivid imagination. It doesn't take too much. And then, of course, a big spotlight shines on Rachav's house. Listen here. Rachav, send them out or we're coming in. The king of Yericho sends a message sort of, Dear Rachav, would you please send out these terrible, terrible spies who've come to your house. This is a great, grave danger. In this pasuk alone already, you begin to see the success of the whole mission. They know the spies are here. And you know what else they know? It's not one of them. It's two of them. And they're frightened out of their wits. One Israeli, they used to say, you know, one Israeli, no. But if you have two, that's a division already. Yeah. There was once a time that they feared us. There was once a time that they feared us. Vayishlach. So he sends the message. She took the two men and she hid him. This singular is, of course, very fascinating. Chazal talk about she hid him. So Chazal say that Pinchas told her, listen, I'm a malach. I'm an angel. When I choose to, I can just disappear. Nobody will see me. You don't have to worry about hiding me. So she only hides one of them. But Toma, and she said, Cain, she sends a message back. You know, there's nobody who has set foot in Rachav's house. Nobody set foot there. And she said, yes, these people came here. I don't know where they're from. I mean, here's a story. The gate was about to close in the dark. The people went out. I don't know where they went. Where the people went. Run after them quickly. Because you're going to catch them. And in the meanwhile, back at Rachel's house, she took them up to the roof, and she covered them with the stalks of flax that are spread out on the roof to dry. And so this is very ignominious. There must be some very embarrassing, you understand? Very embarrassing. Here is this
is 007, and he's covered up with flax on the. I just want to, the extent of the failure. You understand? We're not talking about two swashbuckling. What are you? Spies, you know, who are ready to fight and machine gun and shoot and kill and climb high mountains faster than a speeding bullet. It's all a shame. V'anoshim ratzvach lehem, and you know what? The king's men never enter the house. They take what Rachav says at face value. You know what? They're really afraid of them. They don't want to go into the house because they're afraid. You know what? They'll go into the house and they're going to come face to face with these two Jews. Yes? Wait a minute. No, you want to steal the shear from me. That's what you want to do. But that's okay. The men pursued them on the way to the Yarden, al hamabrot, to the Allenby crossing. V'hashar sogaru, they closed the gates of the city. Acharei kasher yotzu arokfim achareim. In other words, it means they must have opened the doors just to let the pursuers out. After the pursuers left, they closed the gates. V'hemoterem yishkoven, and the day before they went to sleep, v'hi olta aleim al agak, she went up to them on the roof. V'atomer el anoshim, and she said to the men, this is what you have to listen to. This, the Haftorah is not because in Parshat Shlach spies are sent and in the Haftorah spies are sent. That's not the relationship between the two. That's the point we've been making for the last few weeks. Don't look at the simple connection between the two, because chances are you're going to make a mistake. It's not, just as we pointed out last week, it's not because in Baalotcha there's a menorah and in the Haftorah there's a menorah. Menorah here, menorah there, and you have Haftorah. It's not over here that you have spies here, spies there. Well, that's pretty good. So we have Haftorah. It's not spies here, spies there. It's spies here and Rachav there. This Rachav is going to put a Klal Yisrael to shame. This harlot, this prostitute, is going to put Klal Yisrael to shame. V'atomer al anoshim, and she said to the men, alright, off. V'atomer al anoshim, Yodati, I know, ki natan Hashem lechem et haaretz, that God gave you the land. V'chinaflai matchem aleinu, the fear of you has fallen upon us. V'chinomogu kol yoshvei haaretz mpnechem, all of the people of the land have simply melted before you. Ki shamanu, we heard it, asher hovish Hashem et mei yamsuf mpnechem. She's calling to mind vividly an event of 40 years earlier. We heard that God had dried the waters of the Yam Suf from before you. We know what you've done now, the two kings of the Amori, that are on the other side of the Jordan, that you destroyed. Do you know what this woman is telling us? This woman has the ability to see clearly. To see clearly. And do you know what? Clarity of vision is a very rare commodity. Today especially. There's no moral clarity. There's no clarity of vision. We look at events and we don't know how to interpret them. We don't know how to understand them. In Hebrew they say, Yodim, lo yodim lahasik maskanot. We don't know how to come to a conclusion, like, what do I learn from all of this? It's unbelievable. And this woman has absolute clarity. Vanishma, we heard, vayimasl vavenu, and our hearts melted away. V'lo komo drav bish mitnechem, no man has the spirit to stand up against you. Ki Hashem elokechem, listen to this.
God, your God, is Elokim v'Shamayim Imal. He's the God in heaven above, Al Haaretz Mitachas. He's not only the God in heaven above, he's also the God on the face of this earth. What gems come pouring out of Rachav. V'atoy, now he shavu no li b'Hashem. She's able to utter the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Swear to me by God. Ki asiti imachem chesed, I've done kindness to you. V'asitim gam atem im beit avi chesed, you should do with my father's house kindness. Unetatem li ot emet, and give me a sign that is true, that you will spare me and you will spare the rest of my family. And the words of Rachav, this is really what Yehoshua has to hear. This is what Jews have to hear. All of the rest is nonsense. How many divisions does the king of Jericho have is insignificant. What's important to know is that when we have the Rebbeinu Shem on our side, then it doesn't make any difference what the enemy has. If we think that we're going to go it alone, then we're making a very tragic mistake. If we think we're going to resolve the unresolvable problems of the Jewish people, then we're making a tragic, tragic mistake. V'achayitim et aviv et imi, you should keep alive my father and my mother, v'achay v'achyotay, my brothers and my sisters, that kol ha'shehelehem, and everything that belongs to them, v'hitzaltim et ha'shotayim v'imavet, you should save our lives from death. She is convinced beyond any shadow of doubt that they're all finished. There is no doubt in her mind. There is such a sense of absolute knowledge of what's going to happen. By Yomelo HaAnoshim, the men said to her, Nafshenu Tachtechem Lamut, our lives will be in your place to die in Lo Takidu, on condition that you don't tell Edvarenu, said this agreement that we made. V'hoyan, it will come to pass, B'teit Hashem Lanu et Haaretz, when God will give us the land, V'asinu Imach Chesed V'emes, we're going to do for you kindness and truth. V'atoridein B'chevel B'yadach Alon. And she let her down with the rope that was at her window. Chazal say that with this one act, do you know what she's doing? She's doing tshuva for 40 years of lovers who went up and down that rope. Precisely with that, through that which she sinned, she is now going to gain her place in Jewish history and in Olam Haba. She let them down through the rope, Ba'arach Halon. Ki Beita B'kir HaChoma, because her house was in the wall of the Chomat Ha'ir. U'bachoma hi yoshavet. That's where she lives. V'atom Elohem, and she said to them, Ha'horu, Ha'or Aleichu. By the way, this is also, it's on the one hand part of the great fashla of the mission. I didn't have to climb down a rope in order to get out of there. But at the very same time, what happens over here is this is the great success of the mission. The success of the mission is a woman called Rachav. She is the success. It is, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael against Rachav. Now, she is, in a sense, the counterbalance to a Jewish people. It's awesome. The power of one human being. The power of one human being who can look at reality and see it clearly. Yes?
I'm going back to the beginning here. I forgot to ask before. Why does this, maybe I missed something. Why does it say, El Haaretz Ve'Elyericho? Why are they, I don't want the Arabs to hear, but I just want to
Well, I imagine it is simply they're being sent to the land, and specifically Yericho. That's how the Gemara explains it. I mean, if it's Eretz, then it's not Yericho. It means you're going to Eretz Yisrael, but your job, your mission, should you accept it, is to find out just what's happening in Yericho. That's all. And that's what it says. All right, let's go further. She gave them instructions. Hohora lechu, go to the mountain. Pen yivgu bechem harotim, lest the pursuers meet up with you. V'nachbeitem shama, and you should hide there 3 days until the pursuers return, and afterwards teilchu l'darkechem, you can go on your own. ויאמרו אליה אנשים אל בן סתר נקיים אנחנו משבועתך הזה אשר השבעתנו. We are clean of this oath. In other words, what they're saying is we're going to do our part, and that's going to mean that we can safely say that we have fulfilled our part of the oath. Hinei anachnu boim boret, behold, we're coming into the land. Et tikvat chut hashani hazeh, this red rope, tikshiri b'chalom, you should have it tied in the window, asher horadetanu bo, that you let us down, vet avich, vet imeich, vet achayich, vet kol beit avich, ta'asvi elech, elayich habaito, gather your father and your mother, your brothers, everybody into the house. V'oyo kol ashi yetzei mitaltei beiteich, v'chutza domo b'rosho, anybody who goes out of the door of this house, his blood is on his hand. I can't help but feeling that in this pasuk, what they're saying is that Rachav is going to go through her own Yitziat Mitzrayim, her exodus from Egypt. She is being freed. Where did it say no one shall step out of the doors of the house until morning, the night of Pesach? In a sense, by the way, it's going to be Pesach time. Right after they celebrate Pesach, they're going to come to Yericho. They're going to celebrate Pesach, and then begins the attack on Yericho. Anybody who goes out of the doors of your house, Domo Barosho, his blood is on his head. Banachnu Nikim, and we're innocent. V'chol Ashi, Yitach Babayit, Domo Baroshenu, anybody who's in your house, we're responsible. Im Yad Tiyebo, if any hand is raised against them. And if you're going to tell this to anybody, then if you let something leak and people know about it, it's no good. But Tomer, she said, as you say, so it shall be. She sent them, and they went, and she immediately tied the red bandala, the sign of good luck. She ties it out of the window. No, it's becoming a holy district. It's becoming Eretz Yisrael. Vayelch, when they went, Vayavo, Ahara, they came to the mountain, and they stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Vayivakshu harotim b'chol adera v'lo matzo. The pursuers sought them on the whole road, but they didn't find them. Vayashuvu shnei anoshim, they turned and they came down from the mountain. They crossed over the river. Vayavo el Yoshua ben Nun, they came to Yoshua ben Nun. Vayisapru lo et kol hamotzototam, and they told him everything that happened. Vayomru el Yoshua. This was the message. And the message is all, this is Rachav. Ki natan Hashem biyadeinu et kol haaretz, v'gam namogu kol Yoshua haaretz bipaneinu. This is the success. They're all melted away before us. We're going to succeed. God's hand is already working. He has already prepared the way for us to go into Eretz Israel. Rachav. We have one more sheet, and we have 5 minutes. Don't look at the whole sheet. On the right-hand side, Rav Nachman discusses Huldah's ancestry. The Gemara had said a number of things. First of all, the Gemara had said that there were four astonishingly beautiful women in history. Sarah, Avigail, Rachel, and Rachav, the Gemara speaks about the beauty of Rachav a number of times. Absolutely exceptional, outstanding beauty. And we're going to see how that's one thing. The Gemara had also listed the seven prophetesses. And one of the seven prophetesses was Huldah. Huldah said prophecy in the time of Yirmiyahu. Omar Rav Nachman said, Huldah minei bonav shel Yeshua haita. Huldah was a descendant of Yehoshua ben Nun. K'tiv hocha, because it says over here, ben Charchas, u'k'tiv hasam, and it says over there that Yehoshua was buried in Timnat Cheres. Cheres here, Cheres there. Okay. Not important, right now. The Gemara questions Rav Nachman's second teaching. Eisei Rav Eina Saba, Rav Nachman, Rav Eina Saba asked Rav Nachman, Shmona Nevi'im, eight prophets,
V'hem kohanim, who are priests, yotzu me'rochav hazona. From Rochav Hazona, 8 prophets who were Kohanim came from Rochav. Rochav, I say that most probably she was zeichet to have Nevi'im come from her because she was able to see with clarity. Wait a minute. Of course, it's a good Kasha Kohanim. But then we have to find out who she married, and then we're going to have to find out who does her daughter or who does her son marry? All right? Her daughter can marry a Kohen, and then you can have generations of Kohanim. Ve'eluhen, who are these 8 prophets that came from Rochav who were also Kohanim? Nadia, Baruch, Saraya, Machsia, Yirmiah, Chilkiah, and Hanameel, and Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af Chulda hanefiyam ibnei boner shel Rochav Hazona ha'isa." Rabbi Yehuda says that even Chulda also was from the children of Rochav. How? Because it says Ksiv Hocha. It says Ben Tikva, the son of Tikva, and it says there at Tikvat Chut Hashani. All right, so of course we have a problem. What's the Gemara's problem? You can't have it both ways. Or maybe you can. You told me that Chulda came from Yehoshua, but we have an opinion that says that Chulda came from Rochav. How do we reconcile the two? Very simple. You make a shidduch. So the Gemara says, Amalei Eina Saba. Rach Nachman said to him, Eina the Elder, V'amri lo patya uchma. Black vessel. I'm not going to go into that. Mini iminach, from me and from you to stayem shmaita. This teaching is concluded. You said that they came from the family of Yehoshua. I said that they came from the family of Rochav. How are we going to reconcile them? The igaira, he converted her. The Igairo, she converted the Nazba Yehoshua, and Yehoshua married her. No, he was not. Yehoshua was from Yehoshua. Now, Yehoshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Yehoshua, Hoshea bin Nun, Lemate Ephraim. So therefore, he is permitted to marry a Gioras. Do you know what really happens over here? I'm ready to say that this is a marriage made in heaven. Who are the 2 shatchanim? The 2 shatchanim are the 2 spies. They didn't see anything about the land, but they saw a Tayyar Meidel there. Not only they saw a Tayyar Meidel, if you look in the Sedra and see what Yehoshua ben Kalev say in Parshat Shalach, that's what Rochav is saying in the Haftarah. God has given us the land. We will be able to do it. They have no power before us. It's unbelievable. One of the most important questions is, you know, today, when you want to make a shidduch, what are her hashgafas like? That is after you find out how much money the parents have, you understand? And who's able to buy the dira, or at least half a dira. Then, when you've taken care of all of those other things, then you ask, I got to know something about her hashgafas. Now you understand, these 2 fellas come back and they tell Yehoshua about the hashgafas of Rochav. And you know, he says, we push it here in Hebrew, they would say, shtei tipot mayim. 2 drops of water were the same. Take a look in Torah and see what I said in Parashat Shlach. That's exactly what Rochav is saying in the Haftarah. The purpose of the Haftorah was not to tell us spies here, spies there. Even though, of course, from the spies here, you can learn precisely everything that was wrong with the spies in the days of Moshe. But the Haftorah is a great deal more than that. The Haftorah is Rochav here and Yehoshua there. That's what the Haftorah is about. The Haftorah is about a woman raised as an idolater, but she has the ability to understand reality. She sees, she perceives, she contemplates, she thinks. There's even a Maimon Chazal that says that right after Kriyat Yamsuf, she had already begun to think about doing tshuva, and it took her 40 years. You know, there are things you want to do, and you just don't get them done until finally. And then, of course, the great blessing. The prophets, in the final analysis, you have to understand, we refer to Yirmiyahu as a prophet of doom. The fact is that Yirmiyahu will ultimately be seen as the great prophet of Nechama. He is the one who says, Kol b'romo nishma rochel levako albanea. Yirmiyahu is the one who, as he hears the battering rams against the walls of Yerushalayim, he enters into that strange real estate deal, and he buys a piece of land that's like buying the Brooklyn Bridge. But the Rebbe Shem tells him, no, it's going to be worth a lot of money. That's a good investment, you understand? Because he says, oh, Titi Kromim, you are going to plant vineyards, Baharei Shomron, in all of the Shomron. And one word of a Navi is worth more than all of the great plans that are laid by mice and men. Everybody's getting in on the act. Everybody's writing up all sorts of great plans. And when the Rebbein Shem says, through Yirmiyahu, O Titi Kramim Bahrei Shomron, then you have to know that's Torah Semes. Okay. Wait, I'm getting, most, I'm going in order, yes. What? I have no idea. I don't think he had sons. They say that he had girls. He only had girls. In other words, they could have done this Shabchanis earlier. Why did this... Spy versus spy, that's very good, you're right. See, I'm not into TV. The Mad Magazine. That's also true. They say that.